there in the very front end of the Bible. Numbers in chapter 13, just as we read in our reading earlier this afternoon. Numbers 13, and look with me, if you will, in verse 17. Now, as you know, before we get into this, we know that the children of Israel have been traveling throughout the wilderness, and the Lord has brought them into the land of Canaan, right there on the outskirts thereof, into the promised land. And a group of people were brought out of every 12 tribe, every one of the 12 tribes, and they were to go in and spy out the land. And this is what we're going to pick up in verse 17. The Bible says, "And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up unto the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, and whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be of good courage," he says, "and bring of the fruit of the land." Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rahob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came into Hebron, where Haman and Shishai and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. Now the place was called the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned searching of the land after 40 days. Father, we pray a special blessing upon the reading of thy word tonight. Bless this service here, dear God. Bless this message to our hearts and our minds. And I simply ask you, dear God, to make a move amongst your people this evening. And thank you for the reminder that we seek to be revived again, Father. But just as we were talking earlier, Lord, only something that was living at one time can be yet revived. And I pray that you would revive your people, dear Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And amen. Tremendous story here in recorded in the book of Numbers as the 12 spies went in to spy out the land of Canaan, this promised land that God had given unto his people, this land that consists, if you will, a 300-mile stretch all the way from the mouth of the Euphrates to the mouth of the Nile, 200 miles up to Mount Ararat, 200 miles back down, one big triangle, one big crescent, if you will, of where Abraham's feet had touched in this promised land that God had given unto the nation of Israel. And they chose one person out of each one of the tribes, and they sent them forward. And so for 40 days they were searching and spying out this land. We find in verse 23 that they cut these clusters out and they carried them. Took two people to carry these clusters of grapes. They were these massive, big, huge grapes. And they brought in the figs, and they brought in the pomegranates. They brought in these beautiful, beautiful fruit that it came in from this land. But we find, guys, that there's going to be two different reports that occur. Two different reports that are given to the leaders of the nation of Israel. Come back and that are given unto Moses. Two different reports, and they are completely opposite one of another. Except for one thing they agreed on. That the land was a land that floweth with milk and honey. That the land was a land that had fruits the size of your head. I mean, the land was a very lustrous land. It was a very, very, very promising land. It was a fruitful land. They could see that. Everybody attested to that, but there were two different reports. The first one I want to give you is what's known as a majority report. Now, guys, a majority report refers to a majority opinion in judiciary decisions which are not unanimous. Look in verses 26 through 29 and notice what we find in the majority report. "And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." Now that's a good report so far. But look at verse 28. "Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Skip down to verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. So we find the majority, 10 out of these 12, the majority report comes back and says, man, you know what? You were right. A land that floweth with milk and honey. Look at this fruit. It produces fruit bigger than we've ever seen in our life. My goodness, you got a grape over here that can provide nourishment for an entire family. But the people are strong. The city's walled up. It's very great. The men are of great stature. And we are in our own sights. Grasshoppers. That's the majority report. But I want you to look at the minority report. Now guys, a minority report is defined as a committee report written by one or more members of a committee to officially state a position counter to the committee's majority, i.e. a dissenting opinion. It's funny, we gave a series of verses for the majority report, but only one verse we'll look at for the minority report in verse 30. It says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. My friend, I want you to understand tonight that there is a grave difference between these two reports. And I want to speak to you this evening on this topic, the infection of fear versus the effect of faith. And you say, well, preacher, you preached on faith this morning. I realize that. And I'm going to preach on faith tonight. I want to talk to you about the infection of fear versus the effect of faith. Why the difference in these two reports? Why do we see the difference between the majority report and the minority report? Well, here's the very, very essence of it. Here is the simplicity of the entire situation. One group believed, while the other did not. It really is that simple tonight. An infection set in on the majority, while an effect set in on the minority. And there's only one difference. There's not two, there's not three. There's only one difference. Caleb, and we also know Joshua, they believe the second verse of this chapter. Numbers chapter 13 and verse 2, we'll just pick up in verse 1. Says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that thou may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. That's all you need to read. Caleb and Joshua versus the other 10 of the 12 spies simply believe what God said, which I give. It's that simple tonight. The Lord said he gave the land, and you know what? Those two boys believed it. Despite who was in the land, they believed. Despite what was in the land, they believed. Despite how they were going to take the land, they believed. And that's the difference tonight between an effective faith and an infectious fear. So it leaves us today to ponder our own lives, our own thoughts. It leaves us tonight to think about our own actions and yes, our own beliefs, where we are in our life. Beloved, belief, trust, faith, dependence, they are essential in life. But there's an infection which lies within those who fail from these matters. An infection, point number one, an infection, listen carefully, of fear. An infection of fear. Look there with me in chapter 14 now. Numbers chapter 14, and look with me in verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? Beloved, fear has a common thread. Fear has a common thread in the lives of men, women, and children who falter so by. It is as a common thread, it will cause people to quit. When people begin to be afraid, when their trust is weak, their dependence is sketchy, their belief wavering, and their faith faltering, they will seek to just simply quit. And every soul who quits will desire to go right back from where they came. No matter how bad it was at the time, no matter how rough it was, no matter how hard it was, no matter how despicable, no matter how much they did not have, no matter how much suffering they experienced, they will seek to go right back into that area in that life when fear comes in. In the Christian's case, it's a mad dash to go back to the world. It's the same principle we find here in Numbers chapter 14. The very same. It's identical to what we find in Numbers 14. Egypt is a perpetual picture of the world. Those who quit and run back into the world, they're running back just as Israel wanted to run back into Egypt and be slaves again. They look back there and said, "Man, we had three hots and a cot. Yeah, but you were slaves. Yeah, but we had houses to live in. Yeah, but you were slaves. Yeah, but we had food that we could eat. Yeah, but you were slaves. You were not your own people. You had no liberty. You had no freedom. You were not your own. You were slaves. Yeah, but we had this and we had that." For Christians, guys, who succumb to this fear because of a wavering faith and a weak mind and a weak heart, and they just want to quit, they want to run back into the world, they run back into the world's way of thinking. Notice there in Numbers 13 again, look in verse 33, they start thinking like the world. "And there we saw the giants and the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." You say, "What is that? How is that the way of the world's thinking?" Hey, listen, what is the way of the world's thinking? Number one, the way of the world's thinking is a cut and run. Let's just quit. Let's go back to Egypt. But number two, the way of the world's thinking is they look at a man's outward appearance. We find that as we looked in 1 Samuel chapter 17 last week with David and Saul. King Saul looked at David. He said, "You're just but a little boy." The whole nation of Israel looked at, or whole army of Israel looked at Goliath, that giant, and they were afraid and they were shaking in their own boots. And Saul's armor was put upon David. David says, "I haven't proven these things." And he chucked those things over there. Saul looked at man as to what he looked on the outward, but God looks on a man of what he is on the inward. When you go back into the world's way of thinking, my friend, you go back to judging things on the outward appearance. I think we've seen many a times that which glitters is not always gold. So the first thing that we find here, when fear comes in, the Christian wants to run back into the way of the world's thinking. Number two, they want to run back into the world's way of working. Look at Numbers 14:1. "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and people wept at night." Fear is an infection that sets in and causes you to weep and lose sleep, and it begins to thread throughout the entire congregation. It works within your own being and your own heart and soul. That working, that way of the world's working, that way of the world's thinking produces you to go back into the way of the world's words. Look in verse 2 of Numbers 14. It says, "And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron." Murmured. They're complaining and bickering and arguing. And they're murmuring against, sowing discord against them. That's the world's way of thinking. That's not Christ's way of thinking. Jesus Christ said that the world knows that you're my disciples when you love one another. And if Christians aren't loving one another, the world ain't going to think that we're there his disciples whatsoever. The world's words, man. Not only do we see those who quit and cut and run and go back into the world's way of thinking, the world's work, the world's words, but the world's wisdom as well. Look at Numbers chapter 14, verse 3. "And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?" Let's just go back, man. They're reasoning it with their own mind. They're just judging in their own mind. They're saying, "Listen, God took us out here to die. Why don't we just go back to Egypt and die?" That's what fear produces. That's the infection of fear. It causes you to think like the world. It causes you to think wickedly. And to be honest with you, it just causes you to think, just to think stupidly, if you want to just be honest. Lastly, on that point, the fear comes in. It's an infection. It causes you to run back into the world's way of walking. Look there in verse 4 of chapter 14. And they said one to another, let us make a captain. Let us return into Egypt. Man, they're ready to go. They're ready to quit. They're ready to give up. Beloved, listen, I'll be the first one to tell you that the Christian life is not an easy life, but it is sure well worth it, amen. I don't know about you, but I enjoy waking up in the morning and knowing what I did the night before. I enjoy living a life that I can live in harmony with my family, with my God, my Lord, my people. I enjoy the Christian life, but you know what? It's not an easy life. There are things that you have to hold and refrain from doing that you want to do sometimes when that flesh creeps in. Beloved, this is what fear without faith would do. You get fearful in this Christian life. You get fearful in this world today. You get fearful from all the newsreels and news report and all the fear mongering and all the people with their whiteboards and their eraser markers and all that and all the things they're projecting in this world today. You know what you're going to end up doing? If you're not careful, that fear is going to infect your soul and you're going to cut and run back in Egypt. It'll cause you not to even think right, my friend. At the end of the day, it comes down to whether or not you believe God. There's nothing else about it. It comes down to whether or not you believe God tonight. That's where it lies. There's nowhere else that it does lie to. The book of Revelation speaks of a group of people who will not make it into everlasting life. As a matter of fact, the book of Revelation speaks of a group of people who will be cast into the lake of fire. And it says this is the second death. And it starts out with this particular group. Now notice this with me. In Revelation 21:8, you don't need to turn there. But he says, but the fearful and unbelieving. Now he goes on to say, and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all lies. He goes on to say, all that shall have their part of the lake of fire, the burn of the fire and brimstone. And the lake which burn of the fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But it opens up with the fearful and the unbelieving. Do you know why they're fearful, my friend? That group of people are fearful because they don't believe. It's no different than the Israelites in the wilderness. They went into that land and they saw all the fruit. They saw all the joys of it. They saw all the benefits of it. 40 days they were in that thing. They saw the massive walls. They saw the big people, the great stature. And they got afraid. And their fear overcame their belief in what God said. God said, I gave you the land. Guys, this is what fear of man will do to the soul. It's an infection which robs the soul of joy and peace. And may I say this to you? It's contagious. Remember, verse 1 in chapter 14 says, and all the congregation lifted up their voice. There's only 10 that came in and gave the evil report. But those 10 infected the entire congregation, save Moses, Aaron, Joshua, and Caleb. Fear will always lead you to carnality. Not only, number one, is it fear that comes in, the infection of fear. Fear will always lead to carnality and will cause the weak to fight. Now, when I say fight, guys, I really mean more like criticize, character assassinate, and condemn those who are doing right. Look in verse 10 with me down in chapter 14. The Bible says, but all the congregation. Now stop for a second. There was only 10 that had the evil report. 10 men came in and gave the evil report. All the congregation wept all night long. And by the time we get to verse 10, and all the congregation bade stone them with stones. So here we are. Moses and Joshua, Caleb and Aaron, they're just doing what God told them to do. They just believe in God. They're doing the right thing. But what's the result? They're doing the right thing. But the result is this. That infection of fear is causing these weak-minded carnal people to want to fight. It's a characteristic of the carnal. It's the same spirit of those people who cried out, crucify him and crucify him. On that fateful Wednesday, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, was condemned to the cross. Beloved, the fearful who look to fight are hiding behind the misery of their own choices rather than obey Scripture. Rather than obey Scripture, they want to run back to the world. And you mark it down. You mark this down as soon as anything. They're not going back by themselves. The fear of who want to fight, they want to criticize and character assassinate and condemn those who are doing right. Listen, they want to go back in the world, but they don't want to go in there alone. They want to go back into the world. They want to say, look, I'm done, I'm finished, I can't handle this anymore. It's too much work, I'm afraid, I don't believe the scriptures. And they want to go, but they don't want to go themselves. My mom and dad always, they raised me up saying that misery loves company. And I tell you what, you can put it in your bank tonight. Misery loves company. These people right here are not going to go by themselves. They got the whole congregation all in an uproar right now. Say four people, Moses, Aaron, Joshua, and Caleb. Now they're ready to pick up stones and want to kill them. The man that led them out of Egypt, the man that led them into freedom, the man that God spoke to from the burning bush, the man that God used for all those plagues and all those signs and wonders and the Red Sea and the water coming out of the rock, and I mean all those things that he did. And yet now, they want to kill him. That's just like the carnal, isn't it? It's just like the carnal. These are they who seek to gather more and more to pull down. Beloved, just because they see themselves as grasshoppers in the sight of the enemy, they've lost sight of who and what has given them the victory already. I've already mentioned all the way back there in chapter 13 in verse 2, God had already given them the victory. God had already given them the land. They chose not to believe that, and therefore they wanted to run back into the pseudo-conference of carnality, into a world built upon temporary pleasures. Speaking of Moses in the book of Hebrews, who made the difficult decision himself to cut his carnal ties, rather enjoy the temporary pleasures for a season, this is what Paul said. He said, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. For a season. Beloved, a faithless heart results in fear, which leads to a fight, that of criticizing, character assassinations, and condemnation. But sound faith, my friend, sound faith is effective. Fear is infectious. It's like a plague, fear is. It eats through the soul. It infects the mind and the heart of men and women. Fear will cause people to quit moving forward. It'll break down their soul and their will to press on. So, beloved, let's begin to look at the issue. Can I say this to you again? I know I'm repeating myself. But the Lord gave them the land. He says, that I give you. I mean, it doesn't matter who or what was in that land. God gave it. Let's go get it. It was that simple. Joshua and Caleb just simply believed the word of God. Moses just simply believed the word of God. It's that simple tonight. It's that simple for us. Faith has an effect. True faith, sound faith, produces, point three, produces the faithful. You want to find a faithful man, woman, and child in this world today? You want to find somebody that is faithful? They are faithful, my friend, because they have faith and a simple belief. Look there in Numbers chapter 14. I want you to read a handful of verses with me just so we can develop the context of it. Look in verse 22 with me. And notice what happens. Just the context here. We'll skip down to a few more verses. Numbers chapter 14, verse 22. The Bible says, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. Now, we'll stop you there. All of those people, now just to let you know, 20 years old and upward, saved Joshua and Caleb, they were going to die in the wilderness now. They could have gone into this promised land after 2 years, but instead now they're going to spend another 38 years in the wilderness, and everyone above that age who picked up those stones and all this and that, didn't believe God, they're going to die off and will never go into that promised land. Now look at verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had, watch this, another spirit with him, that another spirit compared to what those other people had, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land where he went, and his seed shall possess it. We spoke of rewards this morning. Caleb had another spirit compared to the rest of that congregation. Caleb had another spirit compared to the rest of all them other people, and Caleb's going to be able to walk into the promised land. Skip up to verse 28. The Bible says, say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as he has spoken in mine ears, so will I do it to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua the son of Nun. Faithful. Joshua and Caleb, the two spies that came in and says, look, man, we got it. The two spies that came and said, God said he's already given us the land. Let's go ahead and take it. We can overcome these people. Didn't matter how big the walls were. Didn't matter how big they were. Didn't matter anything. God said he's going to give us the land. He's given us the land. It's our land. Let's go take it. Faithfulness is a byproduct of faith. Sound faith, which is not muted by fear or fighting or even false belief. People running around in fear is a product of a lack of faith. And I believe we're seeing that now during this situation in the world. I believe we're seeing people running around and buying into this and buying into that, and they're buying into so many non-doctrinal issues today. And they're doing it because they're afraid. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind. A sound mind is a healthy mind. The word sound means healthy or life-giving. It says it's a healthy mind to think right, live right, and do right. Even if everyone around you is not doing right. 10 out of the 12, they came back. The majority of them said, no, you know what? The land's not there. Joshua and Caleb says, it's ours. Because they're faithful, my friend. Everyone around you are not doing the right thing. The majority report is against the word of God. But the minority report says, it's ours. The greatest growing religious group in the world today is atheism. And even among those who claim to be Christians in our country, when the layers begin to be peeled back, they're holding a weak, watered-down gospel mingled with misinterpretations of the scriptures, doctrinal applications meant for Israel, and an idea that we don't have the pure, preserved, perfect word of God today. And do you want to know why? F-E-A-R. Fear. We have people today who will not put their lock, stock, and barrel in dependence in the word of God or rightly dividing the word of truth. Because of fear. They are afraid to place an unfeigned faith in a preserved word of God because it means they will have to let go of their own philosophies and their own pleasures of sin for a season. You know what that is? That's carnality. It's carnality. It's no different than Israel in the wilderness. Who, when they were told by God, I give you this land, go and take it. They came back with their own understanding. They came back with their own understanding as a faithless generation. You know what Jesus Christ said? Jesus Christ said, oh, faithless and perverse generations, how long shall I be with you? I mean, Jesus Christ preached some hard messages, some hard sermons. He said, faithless and perverse generation. The word perverse comes from perverting something. And to pervert something means to malalign it. If something is to be on the straight and narrow and you take it and you bend it, you have perverted that metal. You perverted that angle. And people have taken the word of God today and they've misappropriated it in areas to cause fear amongst people, to control them, to dictate them. They won't adhere to a perfect, pure, preserved word of God, inspired word of God. They won't hold to it because they're afraid of what they're going to have to give up of their own opinions. The Bible says, lean not on thy own understandings. Amen. Faithfulness, my friend, faithful men, women, and children have an effect on this world today. Whereas the fearful will infect the world. Paul wrote in his first letter, as inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, he says, for God hath not appointed us unto wrath, hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, we can never forget what Christ has done for us. We can never forget what the Lord has given to us. We are not appointed to wrath. Persecution, storms, sorrows, hard times, struggles, things like that. That's not the wrath of God. The wrath of God is completely inherently different. Never forget the victories. Never forget what Christ has given us. Joshua and Caleb are two young men that we can look at as a testimony, as evidence of what faith will do. Faith will produce faithfulness. Faith will overcome fear. Faith will overcome the fighting, the criticizing, the character assassination, the condemnation. Faith will overcome those things because faith produces faithfulness. And it has an effect on you and others. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now I want you to think about that for a second, and then we're done. Paul sums it up in those verses, 37 through 39. He lists a litany of things. Death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things that are present, things that are to come, height, depth, any other creature. In other words, there is zero. There's nothing that's going to separate us from the love of Christ because we are more than conquerors. And the same principle we find with Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb didn't see the wall. They saw the land God had given them. Joshua and Caleb, they didn't look at the stature of the sons of Anak. Joshua and Caleb didn't look at the warriors. They didn't look at the soldiers. They looked at the land. And they looked to the Lord who had given them that land. They saw the victory. They trusted in His word. They trusted in His promise. They trusted in His power. And therefore, same way Paul said, doesn't matter how big they are, we're going to overcome them. There's not a wall, there's not a soldier, there's not a warrior, there's not a troop, there's not a Hittite, Pezerite, Jebusite, Canaanite, Amalekite, there's not an Anakite. None of them can separate us from what God has promised. He said, let's go do it. But that was a minority report. So, beloved, we are more than conquerors today. We are more than conquerors, and if God has promised something, our faith, our trust, our dependence should be placed in that fully and solely. Our unfeigned sound faith will produce faithfulness in our life, and it will have an effect on others. But if you let fear come in, it's going to result in fighting. So let me encourage you tonight as I close. We are more than conquerors. As Joshua and Caleb had another spirit in them, they trusted what God had said, therefore they said, let's go. So tonight, if you believe that you are more than conqueror, if you believe tonight that you have the victory, you trust in Jesus Christ tonight, that He's given you the victory, that He's given you the success, that He has given you what He wants to give you, and He will keep His word, go and live like it. Live like you're the conqueror that you are. Because that's the difference tonight between faith having an effect and fear having an infection. Will you bow your heads with me tonight? Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and time to be together tonight. Thank you for this word. I pray, dear God, that we would take personal responsibility for our own lives and our own actions, that we would live, dear God, and put our faith, trust, and dependence in you and you alone, that, Father, you would make a mighty and wonderful difference in the lives of those that are around us. And I pray that this world would see our faith as they saw Caleb's and they saw Joshua's. And Father, it would have an effect on them, that people would come to know you, that people would grow in grace, that they would place their unfeigned faith, Lord, in a perfect word. That not only we'll see souls saved, but we'll see disciples created and a multiplicity of conversions throughout our village and valley. Lord, we love you and we thank you tonight in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. I hope and pray tonight the Word of God has been good to you and to your heart this evening. Go ahead and turn it over to